David Ajala, welcome to Trek Untold. And I do just want to start this interview by saying, first and foremost, I had the pleasure of meeting you along with my girlfriend back at Trek Long Island last summer. And you were amazing to chat with. You made us feel like we were the only people in the room. I got to hang out with a plush version of Grudge. So I just want to tell all the Trekkies out there, if you ever have a chance to meet David at a con, absolutely say hello to him.
That is very kind of you. Appreciate you. That is very sweet.
So yeah, let's talk Discovery now. We got a lot to jump into here. And, you know, we first met your character, Cleveland Booker, back in season 3. We've learned a lot about him since then. How has the character changed and grown inside of you and the way that you perform as him where we are here now in the 5th season?
Wow. That's a great, great question. I feel this, when we first met Cleveland Booker, he was an individual who was very intentional and had a very, very clear purpose in his life, which was to save endangered species selflessly. This was the very reason why he would wake up in the morning, as he was pursuing something bigger than himself. And they came along Michael Burnham. But Cleveland Booker, as much as Starfleet represents many, many wonderful things, he just didn't see a fit for himself. And it wasn't enough to just be part of it because he loves Michael Burnham. So cut to towards the end of season three, Cleveland Booker is now really able to understand the benefits of how truly together everyone achieves more. And I think it's such a wonderful thing to see a character change their opinion in the most wonderful, wonderful way. And then again, we cut to season 4 now, where he has somewhat gone against Starfleet he's gone against Starfleet to seek revenge, one could say. But then also, I think in a more simpler way, I think he's just trying to pursue justice. It may be slightly unorthodox and unconventional, but I believe he is trying to pursue justice. That doesn't work out too well. Then we jump to season 5, where he's afforded a second chance at everything. And he grabs that second chance with every fiber within himself. And I do believe it's so wonderful to see a character's journey whereby they've taken a fall from grace, have risen up with great humility, desire to do better.
That's a great perspective on the character. I mean, because season 5, it really kind of is the redemption arc for him. And we're also getting now this season the concept behind his namesake of Cleveland Booker, who that character is. And we're seeing the character, your character of Cleveland Booker here. He's now taken on a more parental or almost like advisory or guide to Maul's character. So what did you think of this evolution now? Because Booker has had this great big journey, and now he's here kind of like giving his gifts to this other character.
Yeah, and it's such a wonderful 360. But then again, for me, it's great storytelling because we're able to see the development and the progress of characters evolving through their actions. He's made the decision to speak on behalf of Maul. He's made the decision to intercede even, to try and reach Maul, knowing that they are our family. I think if anyone's going to reach Maul, it's Cleveland Booker. And if anyone has the right level of historical understanding and experience, it's going to be Cleveland Booker.
You and Sonequa Martin-Green, by the way, you guys work so well together. You have since the first episode that Booker showed up there. And whether it's romantic rapport or just being at odds sometimes, like we saw more in season 4, you guys just fit together so well. And traditionally, you know, I talked to a lot of guests who do the Trek shows in the 80s, the 90s, the early aughts, and they tell me they didn't have rehearsal time. So I don't know if that's the same for you guys in Discovery, but how did you find this natural flow with the captain, and how has it improved somehow every season? Because really, you guys just like get better and better every episode I see you.
Thank you. That's very kind, Matthew. Really appreciate that. You know, for me, what was kind of wild was when I came on board to work on the show, I hadn't done a chemistry read with Sneak, or I hadn't even met her.
Really?
She reached out. Yeah, I hadn't even met her. She reached out to me by email just to kind of welcome me on board to the show. It was a really, really sweet, lovely, lovely kind email. And I think with Sneak and myself, I think our natural default is to serve the story and to serve each other. So we have a very healthy professional attitude towards the work, but we also like to have a lot of fun. And one thing I'm so, so blessed with is when working with Sonequa, we just understand each other and have a very unspoken dialogue, which we were able to develop over the seasons. We're also very, very aware how blessed we are to be on this show, to be part of this franchise, and to be able to be each other's scene partner. You have all of those elements. I think it really does inspire you to put your best foot forward and go for it.
I'm glad you kind of mentioned too the fact that you do realize that you're on the Trek show, and you know, you're talking to some giant Trek nerd right here today who, you know, we know how big this is. And I'm kind of curious for you, David, like, did you ever have a geek out moment where you're just filming and suddenly you're like, whoa, I'm on Star Trek?
Yeah. Let me try to remember. Let me think of a specific moment. Oh, yeah. It had to be when I was on board my ship, season 3, and there's a big reveal of the ship. And I remember just being at the decks and then just flying this ship and thinking, this is crazy. I'm on this show. My character has his own ship. Like, it's very surreal. There's not much I can say about that, Macri. It's super surreal. And then every now and then, it just keeps hitting me. And I think that magic never goes away. It's been an absolute pleasure and a wonderful, magical ride to be a part of this franchise.
Yeah, I really love just how much you've embraced this fandom. And, you know, I want to come back to that a little bit, but I want to actually jump back for a second with you and talk about something in season 4. And I just rewatched it this morning, and that's in the final episode of season 4, where Booker has this speech where he addresses species 10C. It's a very poignant, moving monologue about equality of life. Very important, I think, into Star Trek history, and it has such a deep meaning. And I think one that also speaks directly to people of color. So I'd like to ask what you thought about that monologue and what you thought about being the person to say that and what it meant for you.
I was like, that's beautiful, by the way, Matthew. Do you know, when I read the episode and I saw that they were giving me like a Star Trek speech, I was like, fuck, man, oh, shite. I'm going to have to do this. And at the end of this huge episode, here we go. That I've been entrusted to be able to deliver this very, very important bit of information. I really just tapped into the courage of speaking for any marginalized or overlooked group, Matthew. It was really simple for me. You know, and to be able to have friends in so many different groups, marginalized groups under the umbrella of citizens of planet Earth, really just allowed me to tap into something that was organic. I didn't find it challenging because I felt like I was blessed to be given the microphone to speak on behalf of so many wonderful individuals who I believe make the world a better place.
And watching that scene again this morning, I'm seeing Sonequa's crying, you're tearing up as well. How much of that was genuine because you were just in that moment?
There was, look, man, I don't know what happened yet, but on that set, someone was cutting onions, and I think I had a little allergy problem. So I was a little teary-eyed. Sonequa was a little teary-eyed. The director was a little teary-eyed. When, you know, when there's magic in the air, anything is possible. It really is. And when you look around and you see your peers, it's wonderful. I access any emotion I need to tap into, I access it through joy. Because joy is very, very powerful.
I think joy and gratitude, I feel like those are the two big things that an actor really likes to tap into at stuff like that.
I think so.
Discovery has really put people of color in the foreground in a way that previous Trek shows did not, and really a good segment of sci-fi shows haven't done in the past. So what's it been like for you to be a major part of this shift and for the next wave of actors and creators that are coming in? What do you want to see them do to keep this moving forward in this kind of equitable momentum? Keep it going, keep it moving strong.
Yeah, for sure, man. Lovely thought and sentiment, Matthew. What would I like? I would just like each individual to have the freedom to share their magic. I believe we all have magic. I believe we all have stories to tell. And I think it makes our experience on this planet that much more richer when we're able to connect with strangers specifically. It's easy to connect with individuals who may look like you or who you know. It's much easier. It's slightly different to connect with individuals who walk slightly different lives to yourself. This person may be into Marvel, this other person may be into DC, but I think tapping into our similarities is what's going to bring us closer together. I think it's healing. I think it's important.
I definitely agree. Now, I'm also a huge Doug Jones fan, and I got to meet him at the same con where I met you at Trek Long Island last year.
Oh, we all.
Yeah, and I just love to hear, if you have any awesome stories about working with him, because that man is just, yeah, he's been called the living armature. He's such a gentleman, such a kind person. I'd love to hear any stories or any just like real memories that stand out to you about working with Doug.
I'll say this. During shooting the season, well, the three seasons, of course, our characters do overlap a few times. But for the most part, Doug is always kind of on set in Zen mode, because wearing the prosthetics does take its toll. And we would always have a little catch up every now and then to touch base with each other. However, we didn't really, really, really get to talk and catch up until earlier this year when we were in Texas at the South by Southwest Festival. And me and Doug got to speak uninterrupted for like nearly 2 hours. That guy, Matthew, he's the real deal. He is one of the most wonderful human beings I have ever met or worked with. He is so kind. He is so funny. He is so giving. He's on my Mount Rushmore of incredible individuals. Him and Sonequa for me are just so very, very special to me, both of them.
What was it like for you, David, to learn that Discovery wasn't going to be coming back? And I know that we can't really discuss anything beyond, you know, what we're talking about today, episodes like 5 or 6 or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, talking about later episodes here, you know, like, what were those final days on set like for you? How high were the emotions?
Do you know what was weird? We completed shooting season 5.
Right.
Flew back to Six of Bones. And then I think it was a couple of months after that we were told that season 5 would be the final season. But the way originally season 5 ended was wholesome and complete in my eyes. So in a weird way, it was very bittersweet to hear that that was the final season. But then we all felt a sense of being proud and a healthy amount of closure because of the way the season ended. But being able to go back and to complete some additional scenes was the cherry on top to really allow us to feel super fulfilled and to really button end the season. Mm-hmm. I'm so, so excited for you all to see what we achieved in season 5 in the finale.
I mean, I'm sad to see it go. This season has been great so far. I've been loving every minute of it, honestly. To kind of bring things full circle a little bit here, you know, you can see David in the background. I got the Deep Space Nine space station floating around here. So I kind of want to paraphrase something from that show. So for you, David, what did you leave behind on the set of Discovery, and what did you take back with you?
Wow. But my intention is to leave more behind and to take less. That's my intention. So what I left behind is an abundance of love, of kindness, to be curious without being judgmental, to offer people second chances, to be more patient. These may sound like very, very simple things and attributes to aspire to, but I really do believe they contribute towards making the world a better place. So those are the things that I actively left behind. And what I've taken away with me is the magical wonder.
Now, if Paramount ever came calling and said, "Hey, David, we're doing Discovery the movie. Would you be on board for that?"
I'll be like, "Where do I sign up? Y'all need me right now."
Well, David, thank you so much for chatting with us today. I mean, you are truly a gift to the Star Trek fandom, to the Star Trek universe. I've heard nothing bad about you from other fans. And it's just been great watching you on Discovery for the past few seasons here. And I'm very excited to see you in whatever part of the cosmos you're going to end up in next. So, David, thank you so much for your time on Disco and for speaking with us today.
Bless you, Matthew. You take care, man. I'll see you at another convention soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, and live long and prosper.
Amen to you too. And Regen, take care, Matthew. Thank you, mate.
Trek Untold, the Star Trek podcast that goes beyond the stars, is powered by the Rageworks Podcast Network and affiliated with Nerd News Today.